How about a toast? Dally?
Here's to good friends.
Cheers.
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 Hmm. That is sort of an oaky afterbirth.
Mm. What was that?
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, the last episode before the draft. Ethan and Weiss here with you once again. You know the drill. We got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, subscribe. We're on iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio. Smash that subscribe button. Rate us 5 stars. Tell us our voices are soothing. Tell us that we look beautiful and tell us that our takes are correct. Follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. You can follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. The draft party. The draft party is Thursday night. I expect to see all of you there. East End Bar, 88th and 1st, right by the Q and the 456, $35 open bar. You get unlimited Bud Light draft and well drinks for 3 hours from 7 to 10 p.m. Or if you're a high roller, you up it. $45 gets you any beer under $8 unlimited and premium liquor. So I expect to see you guys there. We can either drown our sorrows if the Giants select Saquon Barkley at number 2, or you can pour Bud Light all over me if they select a quarterback. Last, we have a sponsor for today's episode. Are you an NFL executive who values upside, even though upside has no definition? Are you in need of a guy looking for a fresh start? Then I have the offensive tackle for you. He's 6 feet and 6 inches tall and weighs in at 315 pounds. A hog molly's hog molly. That's right, I'm talking about Eric Flowers. A team player, Eric Flowers will consistently let your defensive players win practice battles to help boost their confidence. A family man, Eric Flowers will consistently work with his father in the offseason instead of with the team. Family is everything to this man. Is your quarterback sad? Eric Flowers will push defenders into your franchise quarterback for a hug. Football is a cerebral game. Eric Flowers will constantly try to block with his head instead of his hands. Now that's what I call using your noggin. So what are you waiting for? Call up Dave Gettleman and trade for Eric Flowers today. Weiss, how are we living today?
Ethan, how are you, man? Long time.
Yes. I'll be honest.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
The best time to take a vacation is around draft time.
You're a smart man.
Get away from it, man. Get away from it.
A lot to talk about. NFL draft tomorrow evening. Giants number 2 pick. Yep. A lot of discussion. A lot of it focusing around Saquon Barkley. We'll get into all of the draft talk. Let's touch on voluntary workouts real quick. It's everything that you want to hear coming out of voluntary workouts, with the exception of Eric Flowers, who is now on the trading block. Good riddance. I will take a coupon voucher for a discounted lunch in the year 2020 to get this man off my roster. It makes no sense that he's not here. Get off the roster, dude. Seriously, if you have the opportunity to start fresh, Ryan and I touched on this last episode. If you have the opportunity to start fresh with a new coach and a new regime and have them say, you know what, let me give this dude a second chance. I'm going to throw all preconceived notions out the window and I'm going to let this guy compete for the job at right tackle. And you just don't show up. I mean, listen, if your end goal was to force them to trade you, then congratulations, you got your wish. But to not even show up is just a bad, bad look, especially when Odell is there and he's got the whole contract situation swirling over his head. He's still recovering from an injury, so he's not even practicing all the way, but he's going through the walkthroughs. Bad, bad look at Eric Flowers.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I mean, whoever is giving Eric Flowers this advice is making a huge mistake. You pretty much nailed everything. I think if he were to show up, take the clean slate, work at left tackle. They probably weren't going to pick up his fifth year option. You know, let's say he showed some signs of success at the right tackle spot. I mean, he was going to be in for a big payday, or not a big payday, but a payday as a free agent.
Yep.
But this is just, I mean, I really don't get it. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what his end goal is. Could it be he's trying to get out of New York? So be it. But if you're mad that they're not letting you be the left tackle, not a lot of teams out there are going to let you be their left tackle. So yeah, this is confusing, but I'm with you. He's got to go. And I mean, whatever you can get at this point, you know, works.
Yeah, Dave Gettleman would be the finesse god if he's able to get someone to take Eric Flowers off his hands, even if it's for like a seventh round pick or anything, really anything. Yeah.
I mean, you know, NJ.com had a good story out earlier today, you know, describing, you know, the failed offensive linemen that were traded. And the one that comes to mind is Greg Robinson. And I believe he got traded for a sixth. So, you know, maybe that's where we could find a ground.
Yeah, but I feel like Greg Robinson didn't come with the headaches that Eric Flowers is coming with in terms of him, his personality.
Yeah, I mean, that could also be it. But I sort of tend to think that, you know, well, facts are fact. He hasn't been arrested. There hasn't been any, you know, suspensions or anything like that. He just seems to be a guy that isn't buying into the current regime. Maybe another team thinks that they can make him buy in. So, you know, the hope is we can get a sixth form. Could it be a scenario where they say, we'll give you our, you know, fifth and Eric Flowers and you give us your fourth? Or could it be something like that? Possibly. But, you know, I think the end result here is that he's probably going to get moved. And I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't get moved before Thursday's draft.
Yeah, and especially in a draft where you got a bunch of offensive tackles that were formerly projected to go in the first round that have slipped. I mentioned last week, Orlando Brown has slipped after a bad combine and bad pro day. Connor Williams out of Texas has slipped as well. So there's going to be options for the Giants later on in the draft, second, third, fourth round, if they want to try to draft a tackle to replace him and then sort of have the competition at right tackle with Wheeler. But it's, you know, it's a bad look. And, you know, at the end of the day, Eric Flowers, you're irreplaceable. Nate Solder's here, and now all we need is a right tackle. Yeah. So that's it.
On the other end with Odell, smart business decision, man.
Yeah.
Show up, go through your rehab, show the Giants you're committed. And I think personally, I think the Giants are a little surprised that he's shown this much commitment.
Agree.
I think they're sort of taken back by it a little bit. I think they probably expected him to show up for day one, but the amount of time that's being reported that he's spending there is definitely definitely interesting. People said he wouldn't take the field, but he took the field today. You know, did rehab, went through did some running drills. I believe he went through a walkthrough as well. So, you know, that's another Odell report that's proven false. Which has been a common theme here with him. There's been a lot of stuff that's been said that's ended up being not true. So I think it's only a matter of time before they get to the table and start discussing a contract extension. I think that's something that they should do with Odell showing that he's committed.
Yeah. You know, Pat Leonard had like three drafts written for when Odell didn't show up. And now he's like, God damn it, I got to scrap it.
I mean, do you know how many of these media outlets probably canceled tickets to East Rutherford now that Odell's there? Because everybody was going to come down there and, you know, ask Pat Shermer the question about Odell if he didn't show up, but he's there and it just seems like it's a bunch of crickets right now.
Yeah, definitely. And it's always good when he proves the haters wrong. Yeah. Let's get into some draft talk. I know we have the order a little different, but let's talk about Saquon Barkley and all the rumors surrounding him. Over the last, I mean, it's been like a month at this point.
Yeah.
We're both on record as saying the following, that Saquon Barkley is an unbelievable player, probably the best running back in the draft, but he is the wrong pick for the Giants at number two.
Absolutely.
Now, to me, you got every media outlet in the world reporting that the New York Giants are in on Saquon Barkley, unless if the Browns go someone other than Sam Darnold at number one. Which I don't think they will. Yeah. That the Giants only like Sam Darnold. Now, to me, that's just not true. Ryan and I touched on it last week. The Giants like more than one quarterback, right? They don't have Josh Rosen in for workouts, for dinner with Mara and Tish if they don't at least like him. Okay.
Now,
whether or not he's in play at two, there's more than one quarterback they like, and let's throw all of this out the window. To me, I look behind the rumors. Now, you got guys like Mel Kiper who aren't even citing firsthand sources. They're citing a source of a source. It is of my opinion, and listen, I'm probably going to be wrong on this when they draft Saquon at number two, but if you look at everything that has happened from when Dave Gettleman took over, all of the moves that he has made in regards to this team show that he understands that this is not a win now team, and that this is a process. You don't get rid of versatile veterans like DRC, whose cap hits aren't that bad, if you think this is a win now team. You don't get rid of JPP for picks if you think this is a win now team. You don't sign an average 28-year-old Patrick Omame to a bridge guard deal if you think this is a win now team, right? They signed Nate Solder because they needed a left tackle. You literally could not afford to have Eric Flowers play that position for another year. They went out, yeah. They got the best tackle on the market. Good for Dave Gettleman. They got a 26-year-old linebacker with upside. He had an amazing 2016, a good 2017, but the Giants literally had zero linebackers. People forget that the four in a 3-4 means that the Giants need four linebackers on the field. So to go out there and get a guy who's young, who's the captain of a defense, who has potential, he's a guy you can build around. This team has no secondary depth. They have no offensive line depth. Dave Gettleman's not an idiot. Dave Gettleman realizes that. Saquon Barkley is a pick if you think you are a win-now team. Financially, it makes no sense. From a positional scarcity perspective, it makes absolutely no sense. And to me, I think all of the Saquon Barkley news, maybe not all, I'm sure there are people in the building that like him, but a lot of it has got to be some sort of smokescreen that Dave Gettleman and his crew are throwing out there to either A, convince the Browns to take him if they're looking at him at number four, say, you know what, he might not be around, let's take him at number one so that the Giants can get their quarterback. Or if the Jets have their pick between Rosen and Mayfield and the Giants are saying, oh, you know, we like Barkley, drive up the price of the second round pick and have a team who wants a quarterback trade up and give up a king's ransom for it. To me, that is what Dave Gettleman's moves so far dictate, especially when you consider the fact that the Jets absolutely called the Giants and the Browns for their picks before they settled at number three. Okay. To me, if Dave Gettleman wasn't willing to trade the pick then, it either means he liked a quarterback that much, or he knew that he'd be able to drive the price up even more with all the Saquon Barkley hubbub. So to me, I don't think Saquon's the right pick. If he is the pick, he's a tremendous player. He'll be hella fun to watch, especially in an offense with Odell, Sterling Shepard, and Evan Engram. I don't think he's the pick. They need to take a quarterback. I think Dave Gettleman realizes that this is a process and that this team can be a win soon team, not a win now, not a rebuild, a win soon team if they select the right quarterback at number two overall.
Yeah, you know, I sort of agree with everything you're saying, but I think there's some fire to this, man. I think there are people inside that organization who have a ton of, you know, control over this pick, who really believe that
you can say John Mara,
who really believe that, you know, Saquon Barkley is the right pick. Now, I just want to say this about Saquon. I think you and I have sort of said this over and over and over again, but people don't seem to get it. We're not saying Saquon Barkley is not a great prospect. He is a great prospect. We're not saying we're not going to root for Saquon Barkley if he's the pick. We are going to root for him. But if the Giants take Saquon Barkley with the number two pick, what they're essentially telling us is, number one, they either liked only one quarterback who the Browns took, or they liked no quarterback. So any quarterback that is picked after that number two spot, if that quarterback turns out to be a franchise guy, then what you and I have been saying, and many people have been saying about taking Saquon Barkley at two, is true. You got a great running back, but you don't have a future franchise quarterback. Now, if you're going to bank on an unknown like Davis Webb, then, you know, that's a huge risk. That's a huge gamble. You don't know anything about this guy, and you're going to basically pencil him in as the future franchise quarterback of your organization, the most important position in football. It's a head scratching move. With that said, there's many reasons why, you know, Saquon also doesn't make sense in other regards, and that is his salary. He would be the fourth highest paid running back at his position, and that's not including a fifth year option that could be worth north of $15 million. Could you imagine giving a running back $15-16 million. And I know many people will say, well, you know, that's 5 years from now. Who knows what the salary cap is? Well, why don't you do this? Why don't you go back 5 years from today and see what the highest paid running back was? It's around the same thing that what it is now. It's around that $8-9 million mark. It hasn't gone up that much. It hasn't gone down that much. It stayed that way. Why? Because the running back position over the course of the last 5 to 10 years has become devalued. Yes, I understand there were two running backs that went in the top five over the last 2 years in Fournette and Ezekiel Elliott. But that does not and Christian McCaffrey went, I think, seventh. But that does not mean that that position is now valued more. Those were the right prospects for those teams. And you can even make the case that maybe they weren't the right prospect. Maybe Jacksonville should have gone in the direction of a Deshaun Watson. Maybe the Dallas Cowboys should have gone in the direction of a Jalen Ramsey. But that's a different debate. My point is that you can't tie yourself to that big of an investment over a position that has been proven to be the shortest career span, the most likely to be injured, and an overall position that doesn't get paid that much. The number two pick should be about value. You have to take your swing at the quarterback now. You're in that position too. If you take a swing and you miss, the ramifications won't be as bad as you not taking a swing at all and missing out on one that potentially goes to another team and turns that franchise around, aka the Jets, aka the Buffalo Bills, aka the Arizona Cardinals. So, you know, I understand this notion that, well, there's no perfect quarterback prospect, and that's true, but Saquon Barkley has flaws too. If you're sitting here telling me that Saquon Barkley is a perfect prospect, I mean, you're just not looking for flaws, because there are flaws in his game. If you would ask me, is there a perfect prospect in this draft? Yeah, I think there is. His name is Quentin Nelson. I think he is the perfect prospect, but in terms of Saquon at two, I just don't see it. Do I think it could happen? I think that's the direction everyone seems to be going in. I don't know if that's it. I really am like completely lost at this whole thing. I think this whole draft season has just been bizarre. But, you know, like I said, from a financial standpoint, from an overall team building standpoint, it doesn't make sense for this team to take a Saquon Barkley at number two, a running back at number two. Now, if they were in a position where Eli Manning was still in the prime of his career, 31, 32 years old, yeah, I'd probably be, you know, beating the drum for Saquon. But when you're in a position where you could get a haul of picks back from a team like Buffalo or Arizona or Miami or maybe even Denver, or you can, you know, take your swing at a quarterback, you have to do it. I mean, this is not an organization that picks in the top five often. I believe the last time they picked second was what, the 80s, 1983, 84. In 2004, they took Eli Manning, you know, they had the fourth pick. So you have to take your swing now. It is the right time. Eli Manning is 37. And I just think it would be the wrong pick. I think it would be a pick that could haunt the Giants for years to come, regardless how good Saquon Barkley ends up being.
Especially when, if you were to trade back, you get a haul of picks.
Yeah.
It's a value play. It's
not only the fact that, you know, I understand Saquon Barkley is good, but what makes it even more of a bad pick is that running back is such an easy position to fill. I mean, you saw Kareem Hunt last year, third round pick, Alvin Kamara. You know, we've seen the Jordan Howards of the world. Like, Jordan Howard was up there with Ezekiel Elliott in terms of yards per, you know,
yards
in terms
per
of,
carry in their rookie season.
Exactly. And Dallas had that great offensive line. So it's such an easy position to fill that. And in this class, I mean, I personally, when I look at this running back class, I think at the end of next year, we'll see probably at least maybe three, maybe four running backs, rookie running backs that are in the top 15 rushing.
Yeah.
I mean, I can legitimately see that right now. So it's such a deep class, and you can fill that position so many other ways than the number two pick.
If you want a running back that badly, then trade back and take Darius Juice.
Yeah. I mean, just try to get, or, you know, I know that Dave Gettleman says don't get cute with it, but trade back and learn how to maneuver in the draft. I think that's one of the one things that we sort of harped on Jerry Reese about was
exactly
that he didn't know how to maneuver his way in the draft. Yeah, I understand you don't want to get cute with it, but, you know, at the same time, you got to be able to work this thing. There are teams lining up to move up to take a quarterback. You know, you gotta play the game sometime. And I just don't think that you know, maybe is Dave Gettleman is that he can't do it and that's not one of his strengths. Well, his history in the draft shows that he hasn't been a guy that's traded back. So maybe he just doesn't know how to do it. If that's the case, then I understand why he's saying you can't get cute.
But also as Giants fans, we've seen over the last 3 or 4 years how badly Jerry Reese got fucked in the draft because he didn't play his cards close enough to his chest and he didn't know how to maneuver in the draft appropriately. Who's to say that Dave Gettleman is, you know, he hasn't maneuvered in the draft, but maybe he's playing his cards closer to his chest than we think. Who knows? We're not going to know until, you know, 8:30 on Thursday night.
Yeah. You know, I hope, listen, I'm on record. I think if they don't take, I think there's three franchise quarterbacks in this class. I think that's Sam Darnold, USC, Josh Rosen, UCLA, and I think it's Baker Mayfield, Oklahoma. I think if I were to rank them, I'd go, you know, Rosen 1, and then 2A and 2B is probably between Mayfield and Darnold. I'll tend to lean more toward Darnold over Mayfield, but we can debate that all day. My point is that you have your chance at one. You should get one here. You know, you shouldn't pass this opportunity up. Because you just don't know when you're going to be here again. And it will be a mistake, man. It's something that will haunt them for a long time, especially if the Jets get the right quarterback.
Yeah, definitely. They're going to have to stare at those headlines cross town.
And that's one thing. That's another thing that makes this whole thing bizarre is that John Mara hates headlines, even though he's created a lot recently.
He doesn't want to be little brother. John Mara does not want to be little brother.
No, and what's the one way you can become a little brother? Pass up on a guy that helps turn another franchise around.
Yeah. You're preaching to the choir here. Let's talk outside of quarterback.
Right.
What could the Giants do where you would be like, okay. Obviously, we both want quarterbacks, but rank the options if quarterback is not in play for you.
Let's say without conviction, they say, you know what? Sam Darnold is the only quarterback that's going to be a franchise guy out of this class, and we can say that without conviction. Let's say they say that, and they're willing to, you know, put their foot down on it, right, collectively. What's next? Okay, well, you're sitting there at number two. You know, obviously, Buffalo's over here. They're calling you. They got you left and right. I think, to me, trading back is the best option. Now, here's the thing with trading back. How far am I willing to go? How much do I value some of these guys at the top? Is there a way I can move back up in the draft? Can I maneuver my way into a situation where I can get a Quinton Nelson, where I can get, you know, potentially a Bradley Chubb, where I can possibly get a Saquon Barkley? So maneuvering in the draft, it's one thing. So I'm going to say trade back is the first option, but trade back in terms where I can maneuver to get a guy that I want. Not just say I'm trading back, got all these picks, and when that pick comes around, I'm just going to take the best guy on the board. No, not like that. What I'm going to say the best option is trading back with the motivation to maneuver around to get a guy that I want.
Make sense? Yeah, 100% agree. I think trading back is really the only option if you're not going to take a quarterback. I look at some of these other prospects. Quentin Nelson is probably the best and most complete prospect, but again, it's the value issue. You're not going to take a guard at number two overall, especially when Dave Gettleman prides himself on finding these diamond in the rough guys as offensive linemen, and especially when there's going to be so many of them available in the second and third round. I look at Bradley Chubb, and I see a guy who is wildly overrated due to positional scarcity. I don't see any other defensive end being talked about in the top 15. You know, maybe Marcus Davenport is being talked about closer to the middle.
Harold Landry, don't sleep on him.
Sure, but in the middle of the first round, I think Bradley Chubb, I watch his tape. And listen, I'm not a pro scout, but I don't see the explosiveness that I think a lot of guys see or want to see in Bradley Chubb. Sure, he could be a great prospect. I think maybe pairing him with Myles Garrett, if he's the pick at number four for the Browns, would be great. But, you know, I see someone like Roquan Smith go and pick 10. To me, it's like hard to pass up on a guy like that when you really don't have that much linebacker depth. If you pair him with a guy like Alec Ogletree, right, it's going to be like
that's a lot of speed.
The heart of your defense is going to be unbelievable, especially when you already have a dominant defensive line. I mean, it's to me, the position, the need and the value is there. I'm a big Roquan Smith guy. If you're not going to take a quarterback, you know, Vita Vea, I mean, they don't really need another defensive tackle.
No.
Calvin Ridley, they don't need a receiver.
Mike, you know what's McGlinchey, a guy that would make sense?
Who?
Derwin James, Minkah Fitzpatrick.
I guess if you want to move Eli Apple back to third cornerback, sure.
Well, you're doing for that Minkah, in regards that you have, yeah, you don't have much faith in Eli Apple.
Right. Derwin James more if you're looking
Denzel
for,
Ward.
Yeah. I mean, listen, there's some safeties available, some cornerbacks available. To me, I don't know. I love Roquan Smith. Obviously, it's not going to be the pick at two, but if you trade back, I would love him.
Yeah, I think you have to. First of all, if you trade back, you got to have the understanding that if I really like a guy, whether it's a Roquan,
you're going to take him.
Yeah, I'm going to take him. If not, I'm going to do whatever it takes. Remember when Tennessee a couple years back they traded? Believe they had the first pick, and then they traded with the Rams, and they moved back. Well, they really liked Jay Conklin, right? What do? They traded up to get their guy. You know, so that's sort of the philosophy the Giants are going to need to have. They can't be afraid to move up. But that's my first option. My second option is, look, if you don't get the offer that you're looking for, I don't think you should trade back. You should ask for a king's ransom, depending on how far back you go, right? But if you're indeed staying at two, I think the second best option, in my opinion, and I know it's not a popular one, but I would take Quinton Nelson. I mean, I think this guy is – he immediately makes the Giants' offensive line a lot better. And I will be on record saying that I think he'll help improve the running game more than Saquon Barkley is. I think this guy is a gold jacket prospect, in my opinion. And I think if you're destined to stay at two, I would take a Quinton Nelson over Saquon Barkley. My third option – is then Saquon Barkley. I think in that case, if you don't want to get a guard because this class is deep at guard, so is running back. But let's say you know Barkley's higher, then you take Barkley at three, and then fourth is Bradley Chubb. So that's how I would rank them. I think you're seeing with offensive line play, some of these salaries they're getting 13, 14 million a year. I think the value, maybe it's not as high as some people think, but I think it's higher than a running back, in my opinion.
Sure. Shall we move on and discuss the schedule?
Yeah, the schedule came out. Everybody's very confident about the schedule, except Giants fans.
And I can't put my finger on why any Giants fan would be confident given the first 8 weeks of this schedule. To me, the absolute best I see is 4-4. That is peak optimism right there. 4-4. I see two primetime games against division rivals, another primetime game in the NFC, and we know how the Giants like to perform in those games. I see a handful of playoff teams. Man, it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. I think the most realistic estimate is two wins.
Wow.
Yeah. What do you think? I'm looking Jaguars week one. Revenge of Tom Coughlin, that's probably top three defense in the league and a playoff team.
I could see them winning that game.
Ugh, okay.
It's a lot of it's just crazy stuff happened in week one. Like, it's a lot of emotions, you know, new coach, new GM. You know, I could see them kind of squeezing that one out. Like, Blake Bortles.
Brand new offense against one of the best defenses in the league.
Yeah, that is true.
All right, well.
That's a loss.
Yep. That was easy. It was easy to convince you on that one.
Yeah. I forgot the new offense thing. You're right.
Yeah.
I remember Ben Maggett, the first year Ben Maggett was on, took him like four games.
Yeah, exactly.
Cowboys. At the Cowboys Sunday night. You know, that could be a toss-up, right?
I mean, a toss-up. Divisional game is always a toss-up.
Yeah. So, you know, let's what do you want to say? You want to give him a win? You want to give him a loss? I think they could.
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I'll give him a win.
All right, there you go. You're 1-1. Then you go at. At the Texans, Deshaun Watson, healthy. Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's an L.
You got, you know, Hopkins. We'll see who they ended up. So that's 1-2. Then you got the Saints.
1-3.
That's a quarterback who can shred that weak secondary apart. Yep. That's a playoff team. That's a Super Bowl contender. That's 1-3. At the Carolina Panthers.
Dave Gettleman revenge game. Underrated storyline.
Revenge game, yeah. You know, you're going to be facing Cam Newton, Christian McCaffrey. Yep. We'll see if they had any receivers. That's another good defense, too.
Exactly.
At home, what do you say? Is that a win or is that a loss?
Man, that's a loss.
That's a tough loss.
That's a tough loss. That's a Cam driving in the last 2 minutes and like scrambling and dumping off to McCaffrey. And
you know what
they kick a field goal type loss.
That's one of those games where we were down, 17-3 at halftime, come back in the second half, tie the game at 24, only to see Cam Newton go down and kick a game on the field. So what are they? They're 1-4.
1-4. 1-4. Then we're at the Eagles. That's an L.
That's home against the Eagles against Thursday night
in prime time. That's an L.
That's an L. I think they could beat the Eagles at least once.
They'll beat them once just because division games get wonky.
At home, I'm going to say they get this one.
Okay, I'm going to disagree on that one. So we're 1-5, 1-4, and 2-3.
Yeah, I got them at 2-4. You got them at 1-5.
1-5. All right. Then we got
away.
At Atlanta,
forget about it. In the dome,
Matt that's Ryan, an L.
In
prime time, and then week 8 against the Redskins. That's a win.
That's a win. So you got them at 2-6. I got them at 3-5 at the bye. Here's the bye week, right?
Yep.
Giants sitting at 3-5,
mm-hmm.
right? Let's go by your scenario. They're 2-6, right?
Sure.
Playoffs look very bleak.
Yep.
Regardless what they do with the number 2 pick. And mm-hmm. we talked about this, remember?
Yeah, Saquon's not going to make this team go from 2-6 to 4-4.
He'll have an impact. He'll have an immediate impact. But I don't think it's that makes him a Super Bowl contender.
Right.
So we're sitting there 2-6, right? Davis Webb is on the bench. Apparently they didn't take a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, when are we going to see what Davis Webb is about? People will be calling for that.
Especially against the 49ers.
And I hope that people who are pounding the Davis Webb drum right now will be pounding it when they're 2-6, 2-7, mm-hmm. and basically eliminated from playoff contention and calling to see what this guy can do. So the Giants are going to be facing them their fair share of drama, regardless if there's a number 2 pick at quarterback or not, because at some point you're going to have to figure out what Davis Webb is, right? Because you can't just go into another season and not see what he's about.
Yeah.
Especially if it's another lost season.
So here's the storyline. 2-6 into the bye. Everyone's calling for Davis Webb. Davis Webb gets a few starts, shits the bed, and then everyone's calling for Dave Gettleman's head for skipping on a quarterback because Baker Mayfield is lighting it up for the Jets.
Yeah.
Boom. There. Hey, Pat Leonard, New York Post. New York Daily News. I just wrote every article for you for the next 8 months. You're welcome.
Everybody,
send the paycheck.
Everybody's philosophy on this draft will change if whichever quarterback the Jets take has an immediate impact.
Yep, absolutely.
And has that team competing for a playoff spot.
For a wild card.
Yep. Yeah. That will change a lot of people's mind very quickly. Because the last thing people want is to be embarrassed.
By the New York Jets.
By the New York Jets.
By the New York Jetropolitans.
If you thought, let me tell you something. If you thought the Eagles winning a Super Bowl was bad, pass up on a quarterback and let him go to the Jets and have him competing while you're, 2-6, 3-5, and, don't have any long-term plan at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine?
That's it. We just figured out the Giants' nightmare scenario.
Yeah, you're looking for a nightmare scenario. It doesn't matter if Saquon has 4 or 5, 100-yard games, and if they're not winning games and the quarterback is not playing well, but you look across the street and, Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen, whichever quarterback that is lighting it up. Man. Woo.
Yep.
I hate to be the guy I say I told you so.
But it's going to be us.
Yeah.
And
then let's say the other quarterback that they don't take goes to Buffalo. And then Buffalo and the Jets are both competing for a playoff spot.
Yeah. It's going to be bad.
Man, it will be bad. And I promise you, people will flip quickly. I can see it right now.
So let's play a little game. This one just sort of came into my head. I was looking at this a couple days ago. If you listen, if you follow me on Twitter, I'm a degenerate. I'll gamble on just about anything. I'm going to run through some of these draft day props with you. And I would like your opinion on what exactly the answer is. Ready? Number of quarterbacks selected in round one, over or under 5.5?
Well, let's see. Right off the bat, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen. That's 4. So I think Lamar Jackson's the first round pick. That's 5. Now, does Mason Rudolph go in the first round?
I say yes.
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I think Mason falls to round 2. Because I think with so many quarterbacks going in the first round, there's going to be a lot of good prospects, you know, sitting there for teams picking in the late, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18, 20, where they're going to be getting one to get their hands on them. But I think Mason Rudolph goes in the top 40.
Okay. Number of running backs selected in round one, the over-under is set at 1.5. I think that's an easy over.
Yeah, I think Darius Juice is a first-round pick. I think, obviously, Saquon Barkley is, so that's 2 right there. And maybe even Sonny Michel might go.
Yep.
Something like that.
Now, here's an interesting one. Will all of the top 3 picks be quarterbacks? Yes is plus 110. No is minus 150. Listen, the yes is pretty close to even money for me. And when I look at that and I see Vegas saying, you know, that I don't want to say pretty much a toss up, but like pretty good odds for yes being close to even for all 3 being quarterbacks.
I'll say
yes, because we know that 1 and 3 are going to be quarterbacks. You got to hope that the Giants take one or trade out.
Yeah. And an anonymous GM today told Adam Schefter that the belief is that 4 of the first 5 picks will be quarterbacks.
See?
So I'm going to say, you know what?
I'll say yes too. There you go.
I think someone will wow the Giants.
Yes.
If they truly don't take a quarterback, someone will wow them.
Let's do 2 more. Let's do 3 more. I think these are easy money here. Baker Mayfield draft position, over or under 6.5. Under 6.5 is hella juiced up. So, I mean, that's an obvious under 6.5.
So, what was that? One more time.
Baker Mayfield draft position, over under 6.5.
So he's going in the top 5.
100%.
100%.
This is a more interesting one. Lamar Jackson draft position, over under 21.5. I say easy under.
Yeah, I'll say under. I think Arizona's a team to watch there. Yeah, I think some team will try to trade up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Keep it on the
Los Angeles Chargers.
Mm-hmm. Last one. Darius Juice, over under 32.5. So first round or not first round? I say under 32.5.
I'm gonna say under 32.5 too, because I think he's a first rounder.
All right. That's it for the draft props. No, that's it.
You got any more?
No. Well, there are a bunch more, but those are the ones that stood out to me.
Give me a team that will surprise everyone and take a quarterback.
I don't think it's a surprise at this point. I think the Patriots.
All right, you ready for mine?
Go for it.
New Orleans.
Okay, I could see that. Breezy's getting up there in age.
Yep.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, I'd love to see that. No one better to learn from.
There you go.
All right, shall we get into questions?
Yep.
Let me pull them up here. This is a good one. From Kevin, how come fans that have had Eli for 15 years don't understand the importance of the quarterback position or securing it long term? It's truly amazing. Truly amazing.
Yeah, I think it's this belief that Eli can still do the unthinkable.
Yeah. Would either of y'all like a duo of Mason Rudolph and Saquon Barkley?
Not really.
I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't love it.
I mean, my thing is if you like Mason Rudolph that much, why not just trade back?
Yeah.
You know, like,
he'll be available.
Yeah. Right. Why don't you just trade back and then get more picks and then use one of those picks on Mason Rudolph and maneuver around in the draft where you can get, you know, 3-4 good players. Like, why not do that?
Yeah. Let's see. If the Giants pass on a quarterback, do you think it'll be because Gettleman is scared of potentially picking a bust or that he really doesn't like any of them?
I like this question.
From Amin, it's a good one. I'm going to say neither of those. I think it's because he has convinced himself and John Mara that Eli has many good years left.
I think he's scared.
Okay.
I think he'll be scared. I think when you talk about how he says, well, you can't get cute, or I want to guarantee prospects, you know, the what does he say? He's got to be a Hall of Fame guy. He's got to be a guy that you can pick in number two overall in every year. Mm-hmm. I think there's a little bit of fear inside that building with them potentially getting it wrong. See, that's why I sort of, you know, questioned this Gettleman hire from the beginning. Is, yeah, he's experienced. Yes, he's been around the league for a long time. But he's actually, as a GM, he's never been in a position, or even as a head of a scouting department, or you know head of a player personnel or talent. Like, he's never been in a position for that. Like, Jerry was, you know, Jerry was a guy that, you know, was head of scouting when Eli Manning was drafted. But Dave Gettleman has never been in that position, so it's like, you know, we don't know what he's looking for in a franchise quarterback. And does he know what he's looking for?
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. I just question a little bit. I think there is fear there.
Okay. If the Giants are taking Barkley or Chubb, wouldn't it be smart to swap with the Jets at 3, like how the Bears and Niners did last year? Yeah. And that's from Nick, loyal listener. It would make sense, especially if every rumor out there says you're not interested in a quarterback and you're going to take Saquon, chances are you're bidding up the price to someone else.
Yeah, but this goes back to what I've been saying. I mean, do they know how to – part of that is knowing how to maneuver, knowing how to BS your way through it. If you're so fixated on Saquon Barkley, like the 49ers last year, they were never going to take Trubisky, but they made Chicago believe that they either had a trade partner or they were going to take him themselves, and they ended up getting what they got. For the Giants, they have to somehow make the Jets believe that. And if I'm the Jets right now, given their history of how everything is leaked – I'm calling their bluff.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Well, I'll call your bluff.
Let's do one more from Samon. If the Giants pick Saquon at number 2, how much will you guys drink at the draft party to forget that the Giants threw away the chance of getting the next franchise quarterback for a running back? Well, I will be drinking regardless of who the Giants pick at number 2. You're going to be getting a Liddy Ethan on the podcast Friday morning, because we're going to... Plan right now is to record late Thursday night after the open bar and after the Giants pick. So let's hope I keep it together a little bit.
I am not going to be drinking regardless. Yeah. I don't drink alcohol, but if they take Saquon, like I've been saying all along, they better hope that no quarterback they pass up on turns into a franchise guy. And they better hope that either Davis Webb is the future or what they're trying to do delivers them a Super Bowl.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
So there you go.
So that it. Anything else before we end the show?
So to make sure that everyone understands that we're on the same page, I hope everyone's listening.
Here we go. Say it one more time.
Your phones worked. If the Giants take Saquon Barkley at number 2, they better hope, regardless how you and I feel, they better, or the majority of the fan base feels, they better hope that they either, one, win a Super Bowl with this quarterback and this sort of skill position players that they're, this team that they're trying to build. They better hope that Davis Webb is the future, and they better hope that none of these quarterbacks that they pass up on turn into franchise guys. Because if one of those three things don't happen, I don't care if Saquon Barkley rushes for over 1,000 yards for 3 straight seasons. If one of those three things do not happen, the New York Giants got it wrong. They got it wrong.
And we don't want to see that.
And I guarantee you, if you thought last year was a laughing stock, go ahead and let the Jets get the right quarterback.
It's going to be bad.
Go ahead.
Bad, bad, bad. All right.
That we'll wrap this whole draft coverage with that.
Well, actually, we'll wrap it up with this. I hope to see you guys Thursday night at East End Bar. I'm going to say it one more time. East End Bar, 1st and 88th, right by the queue, right by the 456, $35 open bar for unlimited draft Bud Light and well drinks, $45 if you're a big baller. Weiss, if you're a big baller, $45. Premium liquor and any beer under $8, 7 to 10 p.m. Be there. I'll be there. Our producer, Andrew, will be there. Weiss, unfortunately, will not be there. But a bunch of listeners will hopefully be coming out. Come join us. It'll be a good time. I promise. Yeah, and
we'll get together sometime.
Absolutely.
We'll do some sort of get together with some of our listeners. But just so we're clear, if they get it wrong, I'm telling you, man, I'm warning everyone right now. This is we've spent countless amounts of hours, and we've recorded podcasts after podcasts. We have had guests. We've, you know, talked about the pros and cons of everything. Nobody hates Saquon Barkley. But if you let the quarterback go to the Jets, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling
you. Bad news.
It will be bad.
Real bad.
Real bad.
That's a wrap. Follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. You can follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Guys, if you're a fan of New York sports, guess what? We probably have a podcast for you. Podcasting in Pinstripes. Next stop, Willits Point. Nothing but Knicks. We got it all. Go subscribe to our other podcasts. Show some love to the other co-hosts. And that's about it. We'll speak to you guys, hopefully happily, Friday morning.
Peace.